Avery, welcome to the STEM Inspirations podcast, a series of great interviews and conversations with fascinating people from the world of science and technology, brought to you by the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition. On last week's episode, we had a Limerick man doing the interviewing, but this week we are interviewing the first ever winner from Limerick of the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition, him being Professor Donald MacDonald, and he also won the 2022 SFI St. Patrick's Medal earlier this year. He now works as a specialist in molecular cancer biology at Duke University in North Carolina, and he talks about the BT Young Scientist Technology Exhibition and the impact of winning that competition many years ago had on him and his career. So sit back and enjoy our conversation with Professor Donald MacDonald.
Believe you won the competition in 1978.
Yeah.
Then you went on to compete on the European stage and you won there too. Mm-hmm. Would you be able to tell us a little bit about what your project entails and what you learned through the experience?
You know, still to this day, when the first and second week in January comes up, I still get excited, even though it's, you know, it's going to be 43 years very soon. It was an amazing experience, not just the doing the project, you know, up to the actual exhibition, but the exhibition was phenomenal. I mean, just to be able to go and meet, back in those days, I remember numbers like 1,000 people. I mean, maybe it's the same or even bigger now, but I remember just the same people would come every year. There'd be new people, but you'd meet friends. And I remember meeting friends from Belfast and Derry, who used to come down every year. And so you'd nearly be anticipating the social aspects of it and the camaraderie nearly as much as the competition. So it really was something spectacular. So that was the fun aspect of it. But really, I had actually entered several years. I think it was the fifth year that I won it. I was second in the year before that. I had a prize winner the year. I was kind of moving up the ladder, and I was beginning to understand it and understand science a little bit more and what it's all about. And so I think that, you know, whereas I got my formal training in science, obviously, from secondary school, I think I got my informal training in science, how to present, how to put things together, how to actually engage with a judge who may not be working in the area that you're familiar with. You know, I do remember talking with professors who were professors of physics, and I'm talking about an ecology project. And so it's very important that you learn to be able to get your ideas across. So they're I think some people in science call them the soft skills of science, but I think they're very important. But then back down to the very specific project. So at that time, I was very interested in ecology, and more specifically in marine biology. And I had worked in a project that had kind of built up over the years. But in the end, it amassed into a large project that developed methodologies to actually survey environmental exposures in a section of the Shannon River above and below Sarsfields Bridge, a few miles above and a few miles below. And to put this in context, you know, what we'd all know really about analytical chemistry or testing in water quality is that people would run up, take a bottle, put the bottle in the water, run back to the lab, measure what's in it, and say, oh, the water is either clean or not. And so I did that too. But we also, I think what I'll always remember is the two experiments that got the attention of the judges. And one of them was to start developing methodologies to measure the content of heavy metals in the tissue of a snail. I still remember that experiment and still very proud of it, and even 43 years on.
Wow. So obviously you were saying you were very interested in marine biology.
Yeah.
And little birdie told me as well that you initially intended to study marine biology after school. Yeah. Could you tell me about your decision to change that direction?
It's interesting. So I met my wife, Mary, in 1978, the same year. It's a good year, 1978. I met her at a local dance, but she was there at the local dance because her mom that day had just been diagnosed with breast cancer, and the dad needed to have some time alone with the kids. So Mary was at this dance we met, and we had obviously got married several years later, and that's the end of that story. Except about my second year in college, I was at UCG studying marine biology, and about my second year in college, Mary's mom's cancer relapsed. And Mary and the mom would ask me, well, could you go and look this up, or could you look that up? And I'd go to the library, and this is way, way before you even remember. This is, there used to be a system for looking up papers called Current Contents, and you'd have to go through these current contents every week, and you'd find the articles that were referencing the material that you wanted, and you go and dig it out. After doing that for several months, I realized that I actually enjoyed biomedical research a little bit more than I was enjoying the marine biology. I mean, I still love marine biology, still do today. But I went to Dr. Dennis Hayden, who was my professor at UCG, and we talked, and I made a decision to change my major. So I changed from marine biology over to biochemistry.
You know, there would be a lot of people watching this interview might be in like their leaving cert. You know, people really stress about their career decisions, especially, you know, what area of science I want to go into. Yeah. What advice would you have for those sorts of people? You know,
That's a great question, because, you know, look at me. I'm a cancer researcher that develops drugs for cancer research, a million miles away from what I did when I was 16, 17, and 18, looking at snails in a river. And I think that the scientific process is very similar, no matter what part of science you're in. The thought process, the rigor you put into designing and interpreting experiments are the very same. So I wouldn't worry too much if I was a leaving cert person about what area, what, you know, should I pick my area now? Because it really, I don't think it makes a hell of a lot of difference. You know, if you like science, you like science, and you'll do well. You know, whether you go and do a medical degree or you do a bachelor's of science degree, you're setting yourself up for a career in research if you want to be. You can be a physician scientist or you can be a scientist. In fact, nowadays, you can become a scientist first and then do your MD by doing graduate medical education. So I think that people probably do, and you're right yourself, the Leaving Cert is still probably the toughest exam I have ever done in my entire life. I'm now 59 years of age, and I still wake up bolting at night wondering, have I done my honors math homework? So that's never going to go away.
So you are currently a professor of pharmacology and cancer at Duke University. What does your role entail? What do you do?
I don't wear a white coat in the lab anymore, though I miss it. I run a research group. I have two roles. I'm the co-director of the Women's Cancer Program, which is oversees cancer research in female cancers like breast and gynecological cancers. And that's an administrative role where we're, you know, worried about recruiting, getting funding, large funding opportunities for the school in general, and strategic directions for the future. But that's a second job. My big job and my main job is to run my own research laboratory. So I have 20 scholars from pretty much all over the world who come and they train. They come to me for probably anywhere from 5 to 7 years to train. And we're all singularly focused on developing drugs to deal with late stage breast cancer or late stage prostate cancer. Though, mind you, we have a new project that's very successful in melanoma right now. Yeah. And then as you and I were just talking, you've got an interest in immunology and, you know, and how organisms escape the immune system. Well, that's the latest. For the last 3 years, that's been the primary focus of the research in my group now, is to understand in cancer, how is it that the immune system does not actually recognize the cancer as bad and get rid of it? And we're beginning to peel away and understand the mechanisms that the cancer cells uses to evade the immune system, pretty much like the research that you're doing in mycology as well.
And would you say that the BT Young Scientist competition kind of impacted this career choice of yours, like later in life? Do you think that's what sparked your interest in research to do it?
Oh, absolutely. If it wasn't for the Young Scientist competition, I would not have been in science. Probably, I always joke that to my wife that I probably would have done business, because the two things I was best at in the Leaving Cert were science and business. I was definitely not going to be in foreign languages, that's for sure. Yeah, you know, obviously winning the Young Scientist was incredible for lots of reasons, none the least of which, back in those days, between the Young Scientist and the European Young Scientist, it gave me the resources to go, the financial resources to go to college. Because back then it's probably still is very expensive, but it was a very expensive proposition. Mm-hmm. And it gave me the resources to be able to go to college. So that's first and foremost. The second thing though, is it basically, I ended up developing a lot of relationships with people that lasted for a lifetime that were useful to me. Like I told you about Dennis Hayden, he was a judge at the Young Scientist. He was the person who really got me to go to Houston to do my PhD. And he provided that opportunity. And then I remember when I was trying to make my decision about whether I should go into, stay in marine biology or whether I should go to breast cancer research, I remember talking to Emer Colleran. And Emer Colleran was a faculty member at UCG, but she was also someone who I'd known from the Young Scientist. Yeah. And talk to Emer. So I think that, you know, there was these subtle ways that it impacted me I've only thought about them really since you've asked those questions.
25% of this year's entrants are actually of a medical nature. Mm-hmm. And then how important do you think these young people are in the future of like the development of new medicines and kind of doing this research at such a young age?
Oh, I think it's very important. In fact, you know, it's interesting because, you know, you don't have to be old and gray haired to come up with great ideas. Okay? And in fact, you know, the older you get, to be honest with you, the little bit more conservative you get. And I actually did look, not at this year's list because I haven't seen it yet, but I look at last year's and I follow the competition every year. And I'm looking at the titles of the projects. And some of them are just incredibly interesting projects and asking questions that I'm going, wow, not only am I impressed that they did the project, I'm impressed that they came up with that project because it was an important question, but that I hadn't even thought about.
And so at this stage, all of the projects have been submitted and there may be people out there now who are unsure of the next steps to take, especially kind of in the run up to the competition.
Yeah.
What advice would you have kind of, I guess, at the last minute of what step to do?
Well, the project is done, okay? And the project is submitted and the judges are looking over the projects right now. You know, it's nearly the same advice you give anyone who's preparing for an oral exam practice. You know, try and get your mom or your dad or a friend. I think the project is done. Your knowledge in the area, you're not going to, between now and January, you're not going to really increase your knowledge. There's no amount of swatting or studying is going to help. But what you do need to do is practice your presentation.
Yeah, I think you're completely right. It's communicating the project at this stage is the most important.
Oh, it is. And I think, you know, I think that if you, you know, and again, I love listening to the post award interviews every year that you guys publish on the websites. And you can tell, you know, all the time, the winners are storytellers as well. I mean, they're great scientists, but they're also good storytellers. And I think you have to be if you want to be a successful scientist.
So looking ahead, what's next for you and for cancer research in general? What are you most excited about in the field?
Oh, well, thank you for asking that, because that's, you know, I promise you I won't go all day. But no, what I'm excited about? So first of all, for me personally, I think more of the same. I've got a phenomenal research group. And the nice thing about it is no 2 days in my life are the same. Because we've got so many different research projects going. Some are going terrible because we've gone down the wrong alley and we've got to make a U-turn. Some are going so fast that you can't catch up. You can't read fast enough because you're so excited. So that's my daily life, and my daily life will continue like that. There are several of the most exciting things in the horizon for my group. And I don't say me, I say my group, because we're all kind of one in my mind, is we have several drugs that we developed in our group that are in the very, very late stages of clinical testing. They were hoping to get some readouts on their final clinical trials in 2021. So that's something that we're all waiting with bated breath. And then from a research point of view, you and I were talking offline about, you know, about what's exciting in research right now. My whole group program has changed, as I just mentioned a minute ago, to actually trying to figure out why the immune system fails us in respect to cancer. Why is it that, you know, people who are immune suppressed, are more prone to getting cancer? Why is it that breast cancer, the cancer that I'm most interested in, is really not attacked very well by the immune system? And so for me, that's the big excitement in the future. Now, if you're reading the newspaper every day about what's the next advancement, the next excitement in cancer research, it's nearly all immunotherapy. Immunotherapy. So look at lung cancer. Lung cancer used to be a uniformly fatal diagnosis, at least late stage lung cancer. Not anymore because of immunotherapy. 20%, it seems like a small number, but it's 20% is a huge increase. 20% of people with advanced lung cancer, excuse me, will get immunotherapy and they'll never see the cancer again. Wow. Melanoma, you know, which is a very prevalent cancer in Ireland because of our fair skin. And 20, again, another disease that in late stages was uniformly fatal. About 20 to 25% of people who get immunotherapy never had that problem again. That is what excites me. That's what excites me.
Well, I think that is all the questions I have, unless you have anything else that you would like to say.
Well, first of all, I just, again, you know, we opened up by you asking me what it meant to me, you know, not just winning, but participating in the Young Scientist meant such so much to me. I'll show you, I'm going to turn my computer just 1 second. And this is my office. This was not props for today. There's my two certificates on the wall. Oh. The blue one is the Young Scientist from Ireland and the white one is the European. I'm incredibly proud of them. And not just because I won them, but because of what it represented to me in my career.
Wonderful to hear that conversation with Professor Donald MacDonald. Just don't know where your participation in the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition might get you. And great to see him doing such important work over there in Duke University. And of course, we're very proud of him down in Limerick, which is where I am from. Anyway, that is it for another episode of STEM Inspirations. We'll be back very shortly with the build-up to the BT Young Scientist and Technology Exhibition, which is only weeks away at this stage. We're all very excited. Hope you are too. And hopefully we're going to see you all at the RDS in January. Make sure to get your tickets on btyoungscientist.com. Of course, if you want to keep up with all the great news about BT Young Scientist, then follow us on the socials at BTYSTE is the best way to do that. But till the next time, folks, mind yourselves and stay curious.